Everything looks good. Okay. All right. Everyone's ready? So I've learned to like be still for a moment because I always sort of like that. So I'm gonna just kind of be still. Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Briarwood Kids Ask. This is season two. We are here at the Briarwood School in Houston, Texas. My name is Dan Buck, and I'm so honored to be here with Marilyn Zecker as well as Dax, who at the time of this recording is in sixth grade, but he'll be in seventh grade by the time this airs. Very, very happy to have Dax here. If you don't know, Marilyn Zecker is a nationally certified academic language therapist and former public school classroom and demonstration leader and teacher. Ms. Zecker is a specialist in applying multisensory strategies to a variety of content areas. Her graduate level multisensory math courses have been used as methods courses at the university level. She's a frequent speaker at national, international, and local conferences. Ms. Zecker specializes in evidence-based methods and interventions for all students, which are especially effective with students who have learning challenges. She's well known for her work in the fields of mathematics, literacy strategies for older learners, and study skills. Her presentations and professional development workshops and classes for teachers incorporate general multisensory instructional strategies, Orton-Gillingham strategies, the principles of UDL, and recommendations from the NCTM, the What Works Clearinghouse, and the Common Core state standards, as well as local state standards. It is truly an honor to welcome Ms. Zecker here to Briarwood Kids Ask. And without further ado, I'm going to put you two to ask each other away.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Okay. Ready?
Yep.
Okay. What made you want to teach teachers about dyslexia?
Well, it was very interesting. I started as a music teacher, and I realized that in the public school where I was teaching, students were coming to my class to play guitars and pianos and all kinds of things, but they were in a special program. We couldn't call it dyslexia then. But it was a special reading and language course for students who had language-based learning deficits like dyslexia in the public schools. And when they started firing math teachers, I started getting recertified to teach English and literacy for students with dyslexia. And so I found that they were really engaging, they were really bright, creative young people, and I had a blast in my classroom with them, just really loving what I did. And so later on, I started doing it privately because my husband and I traveled for 7 years and I came back and we still wanted to travel some. So I was working only exclusively with students who have dyslexia.
Okay. Wow. Will you tell me about a teacher who had an impact on your learning and how you were affected by him or her?
I actually have two. My fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Grotlich, in the 1950s was very adventurous, and she loved going out and doing camping trips by horseback in the West through Wyoming and the Grand Canyon and all these places. And she would bring in pictures and show us, and it really inspired me to love travel. So that was one thing. And she was really a terrific teacher. And then I had a high school teacher who was really tough. I mean, really, really tough. And you had to write long essays by hand for all of her tests. And I worked so hard, and I finally got an A from her on the very last grading period in my senior year. And I felt so proud because she really pushed me and taught me how to go to university. So I think that she being tough on me gave me the skills I needed to do well in college, even though I struggled in other ways.
Okay. Wow. Wow. You think dyslexia has a big impact on people with it?
I think it varies. I've seen students with minimal difficulties, and I've seen students who were so challenged that it was really a struggle for them. I mean, one of my high school students years ago, I say he's one of the people who taught me how to teach math, because when he was a senior in high school, he couldn't pass the fifth grade level math test that you had to pass in our state to graduate. And he kept taking it over and over and over again until they finally gave him unlimited time. And he said, "I'm going to pack a lunch." And it took him all day and he passed it. But I got him through college algebra and he went on to a 4-year school and he now runs his own business and employs people and does all the estimating for his jobs. He's a home remodeler. And I say that he's one of the people who really helped me learn how to teach math to students. I had three of them in the early 1990s who struggled mightily with math. And I got them all through college algebra. And a lot of it I had to relearn myself.
Do you think dyslexia makes it harder in math and why?
In some people, it does. And if you think about, I don't know about you, but I talk to myself all the time. I talk to the computer, you know, I count things. If you have somebody who has trouble with word finding, we call it. In other words, they say and ah a lot, and they have trouble finding just the right words to answer questions orally. That person might struggle with learning their times tables, because we now know from brain science that people who have oral language difficulties have trouble with word retrieval, may have trouble learning multiplication. And a lot of parents tell me, oh, my student was fine in early elementary school and they hit that multiplication table thing in the mad minute. And then they started to really struggle. But I know that, yes, math is really impacted by dyslexia. Some of our scientists and our major people in the field tell us now that students who struggle with language will have trouble with math, because after recognizing the patterns on dice, almost everything we do in math requires language. We talk ourselves through multi-step problems. We talk ourselves through figuring out what word problems are saying and doing our calculations. So whenever you talk to yourself in your head silently, you're still using language.
Okay. Do you think people with dyslexia should go to a school that focuses on it? Or is there now more of a focus on it, on all teachers being taught how to help this group of people?
Dax, that's a great question. It's changing. When I was in the classroom, nobody could even say the word dyslexia. It was like, we don't even talk about it. And now we've had this huge movement of parents who have come along and formed groups to go to schools and go to state legislatures and say, you need to recognize these are students who can be very, very bright, but they're struggling and we need to help them. And we need to use methods that have been proven to be effective. So that landscape is changing. But as far as schools for students with dyslexia, I've seen some of them that are absolutely excellent. I've seen a few private schools that are not very good. So I think parents need to really investigate. And I think that when we have a good school with a good director who's looking out for that science and looking at methods that really work, it's a good choice. But the vast majority of students who have dyslexia don't have that opportunity. And so we're trying to change that also in the public schools. It's more difficult in the public schools. I don't know how big your classes are, but imagine if you were in a class with 32 or 33 students and the teacher just couldn't give you the kind of attention you needed. When I taught dyslexic students, I had as many as 38 students in a classroom doing what you're doing in your reading classes. It was like, you know, an army of students, and being able to meet the needs of each one can be challenging.
Okay. When you are teaching teachers, is there an emphasis on teaching them how to teach dyslexics and how to teach people with dyscalculia?
Absolutely. And, you know, we need to think, because these are loaded words, and dyscalculia doesn't have as firm a definition as dyslexia does. So I focus with teachers on language-based learning disabilities, on dyslexia, and I talk about what it is and how it impacts math. But then there are other things like attention deficit disorder can also impact math, and it sometimes goes with other learning challenges like dyslexia. But dyscalculia, I like to think of it as two different parts. There's the one part that happens on the right side of the brain. That's when you look at dice patterns or dominoes and you automatically know those patterns. And that's called subitizing. And it happens in the part of the brain that doesn't do language. And then there's the part of the brain that does language that impacts so much of math. But a lot of people just seem to lump those two together. And I like to break them apart and train teachers to look for the impact of language, because it's like, there's a wonderful video. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a kindergarten teacher. And she tries to say to her students the very first day, "Oh, have you ever had a boo-boo on your elbow? Let me give you a Band-Aid." And then other students come up and she said, "Do you have a boo-boo on your knee? Well, let me give you an elbow bandage. Did you bump your head? Let me give you an elbow bandage." It's like everybody has to get what they need. And so when I train teachers, I train them to try to look for what each student needs and really look at that student to see what that student needs in terms of instruction. Fortunately, a lot of what we do that's based on evidence is good for all students. So if I trained teachers to use those methods for all students, then you don't have as many you've got to really pinpoint specific things for.
Okay. How does dyslexia make it easier and harder for some people with it?
Oh, that's another great question. You got some good ones. Well, one of the things about math is that a lot of it happens. Can you show me where the right side of your head is? Okay, so that side of your head, that's where we do math pictorially. You can put your hand down now. So when you're seeing how things fit together, like with Legos, or you see how to read maps, you see things with your eyes and understand them, how they work, there's a lot of math that happens in that part of the brain, especially with geometry. I don't know if you know it, but architects who build buildings, there's a huge number of them who have dyslexia.
Yeah.
Because they can see really well how things fit together, how to construct them. Have you ever been the kind of person who likes to take things apart and put them back together?
Yeah.
That's me too, man. My piano technician told me never touch my piano again because I was figuring out when it broke and I would fix it my way, you know. But those are the kind of people who are great engineers, build bridges, build buildings. Those people are often dyslexic and they have to get past basic arithmetic. They get past the times tables and long division and fractions. Math becomes very different and it's really easy for them. So lots of dyslexic people have that ability. It's called spatial ability. And they can be terrific at math, but they get bogged down in the lower elementary math because it's arithmetic. I like to say arithmetic is the tool by which we do math.
Okay. Do you think that people should go to a school that focuses on like a disability they have?
It all depends. I mean, for some people who can afford it, it's a good deal if the teaching methods are good. But I've seen some schools that don't use good teaching methods and they use old style teaching methods that don't follow the science, and they just give accommodations. To give you an example, I love calculators. Nobody does four-digit division anymore without a calculator. But I don't ever use them in my classes with students.
Yeah.
And one of my adult students, another one, the one who has the home remodeling business now, he met with my practice teachers about 2 months ago. And they said, "What really helped you in math?" And he said, "Extra time on tests. Takes me a long time to get those numbers out and do my calculations." Excuse me. And they said, "Well, what didn't help?" And he said, "They gave me a calculator too early. And I didn't learn my math facts and I had to relearn them in college. And it was really hard." So I think when we balance use of calculator with practicing appropriately with our math facts, we actually help our students build their math skills. So I think if a school does a good job and balances those pieces and really uses evidence-based methods, it's a good place. But I also would like to see more of the public schools do that, because we have so many students who don't get what they need in the public schools, and they don't have the opportunity to go to a school that targets their disabilities. And there are different kinds of disabilities, you know?
You were a teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you were a teacher, how did you challenge people below and above average?
Oh, great. Another great question. I think the first thing to do is to give every things in the class where every student has a place they can participate. So for example, in math classes, I make a warm-up and it's a bunch of questions on a page and I say, pick four. Some of them are really challenging. Some of them are really easy, but every student has an opportunity to shine. In math, I think we can do that. I really like to control my number facts so that I can present a range of problems, but every student can do something. I don't want anyone coming into my math class saying, you know, I'm a failure.
Okay, that's all my questions.
Okay, so I want to ask you something.
Okay.
What's your favorite thing in math?
Probably multiplication.
Oh, good job. Good answer. Good answer. Have you really gotten into long division?
Yeah.
I have a lot of high school students who still can't do division. They come to me in the summer. I have a summer intervention camp. Mm-hmm. How do you like fractions?
Probably my top three favorite kinds of.
That's great. That means somebody's doing a good job of teaching. Yeah. Because I have adults who come to my classes and say, I've never understood fractions before. I can do the equations, but I have no idea what it means.
Yeah, I love like adding, multiplying them, turning them into turning the fractions into decimals.
And because you're good other things like spatial things, do you like drawing pictures that support your math calculations? Do you ever do that?
Yeah.
That's really good. In fact, one of the things we know is that if students can draw a picture, they can solve a word problem. And that's really important when you get to algebra. So you're probably going to be terrific at algebra. And you'll start doing that next year in seventh grade. That's wonderful.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank both of you for your time. Just so you know, Ms. Ecker, two of your points that you brought up at the conference recently, the ALTA conference, I've already shared with my teachers. So about how subitizing mm-hmm. is like phonemic awareness for math. So I
absolutely
that. And also about multiplication and division being, they should be taught interchangeably from the very beginning.
Because we only need to learn the times table once.
Right. And so I was happy that the teacher that I spoke to specifically said, we already do that. Great. Good.
Good to go.
Yes.
Do you use some manipulatives in your math classes, Dax?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's really important because it helps us see. I'm just making math packets for the summer right now, and I'm telling parents, get out the Legos. You can have a great time doing math with Legos and measuring tools and baking. Do you ever cook with your parents?
Not often. I don't usually have time to, but I do sometimes.
One of my students said he loved making Sunday morning breakfast with his dad. And he became a chef.
Hmm.
And 2 years later, he came to me and he said, Marilyn, I don't have a life because I'm always in the kitchen. I think I'm going to change careers. So he became a hazmat fireman. And his captain at the firehouse said, you're never going to be transferred because you can cook. Lots of skills.
Definitely. Well, thank you again for
your
time.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. And people at home, hope to see you next time on Briarwood Kids Ask.
Absolutely. And
time.
Dax, thank you for a wonderful interview. And I hope you continue to love math.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Until
next
time.
You're welcome.